Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Very, very much welcome, my beloved brothers and sisters. Thank you for being our light family on this journey through the wondrous, wondrous adventure of life. And we're here to share with you various insights that we've gained on this adventure. And we've got Rogier Chade with us. Rogier, thank you for coming and helping out with the questioning. It's always richer in texture when somebody asks me questions. I tend to get deeper into one subject, and this takes us broader into a multiple of subjects. So what would you like to talk about this morning?
Well, I have a few topics lined up, but the first of all, I'd like to talk about something you said to me before the show, which I thought was actually very fascinating, concerning the topic of mind control, and where you actually said that, that such something like that had been coming into your house, and I'm assuming you mean some kind of frequency technology. Now, before you go in there, I found it quite remarkable because I know of you previously that while you've seen a lot of things in this this department, that you rarely really speak of it. So, but this morning and for the past days, I've noticed that you've been speaking of it more. So I thought I'd hear you out on that one.
Okay. You're right. I leave it to the sensationalists out there. Not that my work isn't sensational, but my work is real. The mind control issue had its last hurrah, if you will, its last sort of what we call swan song, because there's a legend that a swan sings when it's usually mute, but that it sings at moments before it dies. They had their swan song in terms of that technology, and it went through last week. The masters in my classes alternated between anger and pain and despair, hopelessness, multiple things like that. There were dull headaches. There were feelings of sharp stitches into the head. And then there were also attempts made actually to, you know, when somebody tries to go into your mind to see what you're thinking, which is kind of a futile attempt since I don't, but it feels like fingers stroking through your head. I've had that multiple times when we were dealing with the dark lords and the dark gods and goddesses that existed, that we speak of in the book The Gift of the Unicorns and a little bit in Opening the Doors of Heaven. They were constantly trying to read my mind. And so, you know, there was this infiltration again. Usual symptoms, when somebody tries to break into your thoughts, it makes very sharp stitches into the head, like sharp sticks, like somebody is poking something sharp. And then mind control as a whole makes you foggy. It feels like you can't think. It feels like you're, as one of the masters, I think, it was the master Jan from Ohio, put it, she felt like she was wading through the muck, or the mud, if you will. And that's how it feels, like things around you have become thick. And I had that most of last week. What breaks something like that is a very powerful burst of emotion. I went to the movie theater and laughed so loud. I mean, something like this happens only sort of once a year. I laughed so uncontrollably at the hamster in Bolt with my little girl that I actually fell off my seat. She had her little hands over my mouth because I was embarrassing her so much. Nobody else was laughing as hard, and I was absolutely beside myself with laughter. I couldn't have walked if I tried. And it bursted, actually. you know, it will actually break the devices. You know, but then something happened on Saturday night that was completely unforeseen by me. I was in the middle of a live talk radio show, which we will have in the very near future, some reruns on the station of that. And I was on that show, and all of a sudden, Mother wanted to speak. I was in the middle of a topic, and I thought to myself, well, I'll just wait till the show is over. I was a few minutes before the break, before the very last quarter of the show. I'll just wait 17, 18 minutes, and then I will speak to Mother. But it became insistent to the point where I really just couldn't proceed. There either was a massive emergency, or, you know, there was something that she wanted the radio show to hear. And I just, you know, her language poured out of my mouth, and as I translated, I mean, like, oh my gosh, I would rather be somewhere else, such as Timbuktu right about now, because basically what she was doing is to pronounce the death sentence on those who thought that they stood behind the thrones of the earth. And she said that they had, they knew who she was, they knew that she was here on earth, and they deliberately went up against her, and in that they sealed their doom. And the interesting thing of it is just earlier, like 20 minutes before the show, I came back from the ISIS libraries with glyphs that Mother had sent me to get that I had to translate, and I'd just begun translating it when... you know, when all of a sudden this, it was time for the show, so I was only about two-thirds of the way through. But I read it to over the air after this had happened, and it basically confirmed that those who are the ones that had been trying to do the mind control on me, trying to control the work that Mother was giving me to do, had originally come from the Ashanta race. They were serpents. They were not humans. And I had worked with mind control people, actually on behalf of the district attorney's office in Atlanta. And so when I went there for this convention they had on survivors of mind control and ritualistic abuse, you know, they gave me these people to work with. Somebody also actually tried to poison me there, put digitalis in my water, I remember well. But the bottom line of it is that these people, some of them spoke of seeing the beings that were their controllers change into reptiles. Now, what are they talking about, man? This is way out there. I'm not even going to look at that. Well, this is the reason why. They were not human. They were Ashanta serpents. And Mother gave the contract to the Ashanta serpents that they would amass this huge amount of wealth, you know, and all of this because they had to ensure survival of humanity. She did this as she went into the deep forgetfulness to bring, you know, as the fall was happening, to bring her children out of the fall into the ascended state in which we currently are. But the contract was broken when they became themselves totally distorted and then tried to, you know, prevent her from taking over any sacred government which is forthcoming on earth. And so that absolutely sealed their doom. And that's basically what happened.
Okay, now there's a number of questions there, because first of all, when we think of this mind control technology, I mean, what are we thinking of? Specific targeted devices or just frequencies being beamed? Because it just seems like a very sort of time-consuming thing to have specific individuals, I mean, lots of them, targeted. It would be simpler to just have an area or something, would it not?
It possibly will. The stakes were very high for them, so they may well have pulled out all the stops. And in addition, their technologies, according to what the Star Brothers told me, I don't know how accurate this is, you know, at this point, but he and the Star Brother that spoke to me about this way back, way before I started working with Mother, told me that their technology is worth approximately 150 years ahead of the highest technologies we can think of. And the reason is that they have star beings. Why, you know, did this happen right on my radio show, for Pete's sakes? Mother's words were that there are those listening to these words that will not survive the night. And so there were, you know, they were listening in on the show. So we really attracted attention. And they have had aliens working with them, because I know that, because she pronounced their death sentence as well. Because they had told them who she was, that she was here on Earth, that it was time to create the sacred government, and they didn't want to relinquish control. And, of course, they came after the pivot points, the major light workers. So it was like their final swan song.
Okay, now I know the answer to the following, but I still think it's important to sort of get it clear, because what is being revealed now, how does that mesh with what you revealed in as far back as Ring of Truth, wherein you basically seem to say that all these beings and these institutions or whatever had been wiped out already?
Good point. What was wiped out was the whole top, perhaps third of the pyramid. And these echelons are the words that people normally know about. You know, there's movies being made of them, things like that. They're totally the bottom of the pyramid. You know, so you can imagine how many layers deep this went. There were 9 at the top. 10th one was a liaison. And up to about 15 was so, I mean, not even the lower levels really knew who they were. Nobody knew who they were or who existed where. That's how deep the secrecy of it went. The top part was wiped out. I think I know what your next question might be, so I'll just go ahead and talk about it. But, you know, they didn't actually get wiped out in the way that they ceased to exist, because those top 9 or 10, if you will, had the injunction from Mother to save humanity. They, on multiple occasions, that was their mission statement, like stewards of the earth. It's just the way they did it was totally inhumane and disrespectful of life. They did not deserve to live, but they did not deserve to be wiped out entirely. Mother wiped these lower ones out entirely, because it's an entirely different story when you start to turn on that which gave you life.
Yes, it is. Well, that's fascinating. So what I find interesting here is then apparently when we're looking at the upper echelons, and you're saying the original idea was to be stewards of the earth, and you know, the degree to whether that was carried out is then very sort of, well, leaves lots to be desired for. But what I find interesting is that apparently it's not so black and white to say, oh, they were evil and trying to do just nasty things to mankind, or how exactly are we to look at that?
Impeccability means that you live the highest truth as you know it. So the headhunter hunting heads in New Guinea, if that's the highest truth he knows, and he's taught that, you know, those whisperings in your heart that tells you there's a better way, it's just your fear speaking, so those are programmed out of there, and he has, you know, could be a headhunter, he could still be in impeccability. If it's his highest truth, if the highest truth reveals that the infinite being is on earth preparing sacred government to take place, and you go up against that highest truth, that's a different story than, listen, we're supposed to be stewards of the earth, and let's just do it according to today's highest truth. See, when somebody is weighed against whether or not they should be eliminated as an individuation, they are weighed against not just these decades of life here, they're weighed against eons and eons of existence. So if they, you know, forgot or thought the infinite was never coming back, the mother might not turn up again, because I say the mother because this has happened deeply in the dream where the feminine part of the infinite was the most prevalent. So here, let's take a quick break and we'll be back in a few minutes.
The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Al Mean. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Al Mean has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016.
Welcome back with us, folks, and we've been having a very interesting conversation, and those are the kinds of wild cards that happen when we've got guests on the show, and I appreciate them. Ruhir, thank you so much for asking those questions, because you're right, those are not sort of my usual ones I would have addressed, and please can you tell me what else you want to look at?
Well, there is at least one more thing in that department, because you're actually saying here, or are you saying here, that there was some kind of core of truth to this whole reptilian shape-shifting, you know, stories?
I have not, under any circumstances, checked this out with Mother. It is a deduction that I'm making. When I understood that Mother had asked nine beings and more than nine from the Ashanta race, the serpent race, to be the custodians of the planet, there was a big reason for that. It was that they were less prone to mind control. Isn't that ironical? They were less prone to having the dark gods control their minds. Because, for instance, you know, dragons, everybody, everywhere that Mother gave tasks to fell before the mind control and the corruption of the grids that were the perpetrators put in place in order to engineer a larger and larger fall, because the bigger the fall went, the stronger they got, and the seemingly weaker the infinite being in the dream got. It's not actually the case, but, you know, to accommodate a fall, more had to be forgotten for the infinite to keep those places open in the dream spaces open, and the infinite's feminine dream body to enter there. So the deeper the sleep went, the more the infinite's dream body had to forget to go into those deep dream spaces. If that had not happened, those spaces would have collapsed and creation would have perished. So, you know, the Ashanta serpents, strangely enough, were the very ones that would have been the least able to be controlled. Hence, Mother asked them. I am assuming, just from the multiple rumors that I heard as I was working on these victims that claimed various things, you know, it's beside the point now, but that they said that oftentimes they were sex slaves or various other things for beings that seemed to shapeshift. And they all came up with the same story, and the shapeshifting always was some sort of a reptilian look. And I'm putting two and two together, so it's a deduction.
Okay, but I mean, like often you'll hear, you'll hear people talk about, you know, years ago it would be like, oh, about people in the Bush administration and so forth, and I always assumed these stories could be relinquished to what you referred to in one of the videos we just posted to YouTube as, or no, actually we haven't posted it yet, but we'll do so soon, about this department that was created to really, you know, generate this information about these things. Can you elaborate on that?
You know, sometimes a hysteria will sweep groups of people, and the New Age community is no different. Like there was a hysteria that swept the community that all debt would be wiped out. I think they called it Ensolva or something. I don't know what it was called, but you know, everybody believed it. I mean, I had a beautiful sister in my class with a PhD psychology that went deeply into debt because of this misinformation coming through email lists that this will be the case. It became a local insult in the New Age community to call someone a reptilian. And, you know, it's referred, we had at the time a lot of intervention from Orion. That's absolutely true. And, you know, at the time we had this thing with the men in black knocking on the door of light workers and telling them to be quiet. That's also true. I know that that happened to Alex Collier, who challenged, you know, channels the Andromedans. But those guys actually came from Orion, disguised looking, you know, like human form. It doesn't mean all beings from Orion look like reptilians either. I've had them here in my house. I've had them in my bedroom. Some of them look like that, and some of them look a cross between a human, but the features are just different, and they have sometimes bumps on the head, a little bit like the, what I forget what it's called, the Sith or something, in the movie of Star Wars, except he has all this red and black paint on his face in the makeup department. They don't have that, but I've seen them look very similar to that. So we had a lot of interference from Orion. Those planetary systems and those races are totally wiped out. And the oracles in my classes are just starting to see the sky as it really is with their expanded vision. But most of Orion is gone. So in those days, you know, everybody was suspected of being a reptilian. It was like a hysteria. I don't think that they really had any clue that such a thing as the Ashanta serpents existed. Now, the Ashanta serpents, there are some wonderfully enlightened Ashanta serpents that came out of the libraries of the Serpent Mound when we opened it. And they have dedicated their lives with the utmost light-filled dedication to the one life, to cleaning up the earth of its density. And there were a couple of very vicious Ashantas. There was a very young one in South Africa and a very ancient one in China that they went after and cleared up because of their hostile intent to humanity. So there, it isn't black and white, and it's multi-leveled, and there's so much information that's not known when people just blithely speak of reptilians. You know, they still speak of them. They're not even aware that those beings have ceased to exist on the Orion star system. So what I'm trying to say is that the water's so muddy, I don't even know where to sort it through here.
All right, I get that, but could you explain what this, well, actually, let me put it this way, because, you know, the internet is rife with all these this supposed inside information about what occurs behind the scenes, but you've mentioned previously specifically a department that was created to spread these this information. Can you tell something about that?
See, the interesting thing of it is that even though humankind did not understand that they were microcosms of the macrocosm and that they were the archetypes of existence, meaning that they had the most abilities of any race because they had all races' abilities. That's why all these bodies of alchemy and magic and so on are being restored. And for folks to look at that, they should just look on my home website of www.spiritualjourneys.com and see on the page of my other websites, you can click there and just go straight to them, the different types of bodies of information that are coming back into human hands. Why? Because as the archetype, we have it all. And so I just, you know, want to say that it's because of that that humankind has been able to create by their faith, by their belief. If you have a department that is created to spread disinformation in the name of light work through the internet, as there has been, I don't know if it is still there, but it has been there. I've seen it. And so, my brothers and sisters, if that's the case and you believe it, you create it. So, in other words, this wonderful attribute of humankind to create what it is they believe, which is called faith, which other races don't do. The Andromedans have told me that it would require massive technology to keep a sub-creation, meaning like hologram, in place to the extent that humanity does. So they are astonished that we can do it with internal technology. So if they get that internal technology by giving us, you know, scary things to believe in and those sorts of things, we will bring it about. So that it's been used against us, and we were seen to be powerful enough that a whole department was created just to do that.
Wow, so it's basically like creating images which they then sort of hold up by the lenses, so to speak, and who will then just create it, who will manifest into being.
Yes. Let's take a quick break. We're a minute or so ahead of time, but it seems like a good point to break. And we'll be right back.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Elvispada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back to the second half of our show, and we've got some real interesting things here we're talking about today. Rogier, did you want to pursue that topic further then, or you want to move to the next one?
There is one more thing, although I keep saying
sure.
that. But when you were referring to this concept of stewards of the earth, and you said that in conjunction with these Ashanta serpents, are you referring there to the same kind of original thing that was set up with Isis?
No, I'm not actually, because this predates the days of Isis. Isis happened in a very specific cycle, and you can actually track where she comes on the scene and where she came from, in fact. When you read The Gift of the Unicorns, the History of the Cycles, which is the second half of it. But this happened prior to that, when the Infinite Mother could see that sleep was going to go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And she left at the higher level of existence this contract with them that as we go into the dream, you've got to safeguard these beings that are humanity, because they're the prototype. They hold the genetic codes. The earth holds the genetic codes of all creation. So it was very necessary to make sure they survive, or other races would have perished as well.
Okay, yeah, I guess it's just the phrase, and when you say stewards of the earth, it kind of implies, you know, just the earth rather than a more cosmic role.
It was to safeguard humanity. And the contract was that when Mother would wake up in the dream, when she would, in fact, start to remember that it's time to prepare the earth for, you know, what is referred to as the New Jerusalem in the book of Revelation in the New Testament, when it's time to prepare the earth for that, that they had to hand over the keys of government and so on, which they didn't want to do.
That was surprising.
Well, it is surprising that anyone could think that they could take on and get away with it, that which created life. Just unbelievable.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. All right. Well, I have a sneak suspicion we'll probably be touching upon this topic in the future anyhow, but let's move on to a new one. It's actually an entry you made yesterday, I think maybe just on Twitter, perhaps also on the blog, and it was about another fascinating topic, namely these beings that were behind the sun draining energy from the earth.
Oh, yes, my goodness. In the book, Opening the Doors of Heaven, we speak about multiple races, if you will, kingdoms, whatever you want to call them, that were uncovered in pockets of space. And one of these, we give their writings, and in their writings they explain exactly what happened to them and where they were and so on. We translate it. It's in Opening the Doors of Heaven, but they're called the Stibel Hasbava. And when one travels through space, if you will, like space exists, let's pretend that's the moment. But when one travels, there always has been something behind the sun that has felt like a dead zone, if you will. It's like there's something, but there's not. And I've been aware of it, but I haven't gone there. I haven't bothered with it. And then it became quite pertinent. Yesterday, in fact, I wrote on Twitter, I said, there's something I'm missing. And it's in the movie, The Truman Show. So we own it, so I fished it out and I looked at it. And what it was is that these beings, the Stibbel Haspava, were in a pocket of space on the other side of the sun. That feeling I had that there's something, but it's shielded. And they had connected a etheric tube into the earth to drain its resources. Then what they did is they simply sat down, used the earth like their television, and they sat back and lived vicariously through us, which is addiction. But, you know, they needed to maintain a certain high level as we were moving up. So they just hooked up to the big gas pump, which is the earth, because as the earth moved up, its higher energies would come and they'd siphon it off. So this parasite existence, parasitic, I guess is the right word, but these parasites just sat there draining in their non-life enhancing lives, and this was uncovered yesterday evening. And so when I asked Mother, I said, why was this permitted to happen? Because I very distinctly remember that she put into the laws of existence that no being may drain another being's resources. So if it's permitted to happen, there was something that we had to see. And she said that there were three areas in which light workers had not brought forward from the dream the old standards. And when we awoke, which we've spoken of in the past three shows, I think we touched on it, the fact that in September, when was it? Actually, it might have been October of 2008, we exited the dream and became what we call awake, in that the infinite woke up, recreated us, not from dream matter, that's not real, but actually from the infinite's own being. For the first time, we became real. And this awakening cannot bring standards from the deep asleep states of the dream into this new reality. The three areas where this was the case is number one, sexuality. We had the previous standards that were based on living dysfunctionally within, living with emptiness, living with addiction, and addiction always happens when you abandon portions of your own life, and the standards were set that a certain number of times a month or a week or whatever is sort of the range of sexual activity. But here we are awake. We have become, and I believe that there's a YouTube, I don't know where you put it, you can tell them, but it's on androgyny.
Versus, yeah, that's on YouTube.
Is it on YouTube?
Yes.
Okay, so if they go to YouTube, they can look at that, but we've become androgynous. We have become whole within, and we're now in a place of fullness, because our very being is made from the infinite's existence. So we cannot base standards of frequency of sexual desire on what was. It has to come from a place of fullness. If it's every day, then it comes from fullness. That's one thing. If it is once a year, but it comes from fullness, it's still acceptable. The frequency patterns that we thought of as the norm, whatever culture one's in, I presume that might vary a bit, that has changed. The second thing that we have to bring forward is standards of beauty. Because standards of beauty, or being good-looking for a man, is based on luminosity. It's based on inner balance and peace and all those beautiful, beautiful qualities of joy and passion and so on. Previously, our standards of beauty was dictated by the media. It was superimposed standards. We were told this is beautiful and that is not beautiful. And those standards where, again, not once, we wanted to bring out of the dream into this real place. Then there's one last one, and it had to do with fitness levels. Previously, we saw the body as being acceptable when it was in certain fitness levels. Yesterday on Twitter, I mentioned how I missed the days when I did karate, but I worked out a minimum of 4 hours a day. And when I fought with my karate in tournaments, I worked out sometimes 6 hours a day. That's an unrealistic standard. So those standards of body perfection and body fitness that you have during peak periods of working out is brought out of the dream. And here we are, consisting from the infinite's very own being. Never before done. Creation was made in the dream state. We have never before been in the infinite's awake state and not made from a secondary creation. Like a building blocks or subatomic particles or something. And here we are. And so for us to take those standards and think of our bodies as only being acceptable when they look a certain way is to really not appreciate the infinite gift of being made from what we are right now, which is the being of the infinite itself.
Okay, but it would seem to me that there's two things there, because there can be the question of features and builds on the one hand, but also the question on the other hand of, say, how toned and how sort of, articulated and strong everything is. So, of course, we don't want to spend hours in the gym, and we shouldn't think that's desirable. But on the other hand, we could ask, well, why would having a toned body have to, need so much work?
Well, let me just put it this way. Ruhir, as immortal masters, which is what many are in my classes, we have to really reinvent the wheel in terms of what is physicality. We have achieved the utmost that we could have envisioned in physicality, bodies that are immortal. It should be that there is no exercise necessary for us to get to that level of fitness. I remember very well that in August of 2005, for the entire month, every day, I was sent to do very, very highly energetic work out of body, and it lasted for hours a day, and that it actually toned my body, even though I was mostly what people would regard as, lying there on the bed, stationary. So it doesn't have to be with exercise. How exactly it does have to be, I'm not entirely sure. But the immortal masters on the earth today in my classes need to take a look at this, because we should not be affected by what we eat. We should not be affected whether we eat. And we certainly should not have to spend hours in the gym to make ourselves toned and fit. And I'll get a little personal here as an example on this. I was at my dentist just for a cleaning and, everything here a while ago, and just go there regularly to be cleaned. Really, not even that should be necessary. But they sent me to the office next door. The office next door has in it skin care, they have Botox, they have all those things. So I go into that office and I say to them, this and this needs to be done. They have a massage therapist there. And my dentist, because if they kept me waiting, they gave me a certificate that they paid for to go to the massage therapist. So I have to fill out the form, and, as usual, even though I have not been born on this earth, I fill in a birth date based on a birth certificate that I hold. So they said, no, this is not possible. I said, what? They said, what beauty products are you using on your skin? Because, you know, the lady, the German lady that's the massage therapist, she said that my daughter, who's in her 20s, has more wrinkles in her neck than you have. Necks can't be fudged with, you know. Faces that have Botox, they can't wrinkle themselves. So you haven't had Botox because you're frowning and you're frozen. So what are you doing? And I said, absolutely nothing. She said, then it must be your cleanser. What are you using for your face? I said, well, I use soap on my face. I don't actually use it anywhere else other than on my hands. I just wash with water. I use it on my face to get the oiliness of the makeup off, and I use it on my hands for the sake of, you know, the hygiene for working with people's food and things like that, of course. But the face of my hands, the only place that has... And so, you know, they were totally astonished by it. But one of the reasons is that I simply don't even consider whether I have a ring. It is completely not even in my mind. So perhaps that is the way to do it. I feel like we have not properly developed a system of working with immortal bodies because, you know, they're pretty new to us. But that we don't need to spend hours in the gym to have a specific look to our body, for sure, that has to be the case. How? Well, let's figure it out together. Let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Almeen continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Almeen experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book had been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master and in addition continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nahual and seer, Almeen's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the Heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the Heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almeen's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back. We're now in our last quarter, and we hope so far you've enjoyed today's show. Rogier, what other questions can we ask?
I am going to pursue this topic that we're on a little bit more because I think a lot of light workers will be interested in it, about this fitness and physicality and so forth. Because just before the break, you were saying, well, you know, it should not be the case that it's so-and-so, and we should be able to, you know, now get the bodies we want. But at the same time, why do you think that somehow there seems to be a discrepancy between what should be the case and what is the case?
Because part of the problem has been that we have had pockets of density all over the cosmos, and man is the microcosm. And when you look at what you regard as fat, it's actually toxins held in fat cells. So the very same thing has been happening in light workers' bodies. And also, see, there are stages of mastery. For instance, when you're in God consciousness, which more and more people outside my classes are going into, and it's called the I Am Presence. And, of course, it's the stage before you start getting into the ascended mastery, and then there are very few teachers that work with that, if any. I know Toltecs do, but, you know, don't know many. So, anyway, the point is that in there, your body energy slows down. It's very, very important because you're disconnected from emotions. And emotions is very vital to bringing energy in. So people that go into the I Am Presence and then just sit there and unfortunately stagnate, they will be gaining weight because the emotions that are needed to bring that vitality isn't there. But let's talk about the students that are in my classes. Most have gone into immortality. Life is certainly different. They do find they can go without food, they can go without water, they can even go without sleep, as long as they stay in the silence of the mind. Your bathroom habits diminish, all sorts of things. However, we have not fully explored how to bring about the ultimate in the body that we want to. The reason is that the Immortal Masters in my classes and myself, we've been working on, you know, doing what Mother has instructed day by day, and for folks that want to walk this journey with us, it's on our daily blog. But you can walk this journey with us, but it's a journey in which, listen, the shape of a tummy or the something on the thigh or whatever it is, it's the least of your worries. I'm delighted if I just manage to bath and use the soap on my hands and face and brush my teeth and go to bed at night. Other than that, I try occasionally to go and buy some clothes that please me. But my looks have not been exactly a priority. It's fine to enjoy the way we look and to create the looks we want. Now that so much of the work has been done, it is something we need to develop a methodology for. The place that I can direct folks, because it's vital to it, is the Toltec Techniques of Immortality. And I had an email this morning, a fax this morning, from the Master Hong An. And she is the beautiful master that does my websites. And she has said that she is complete now with the Toltec website. It's the way of the Toltec Nagual.com. www.wayofthetoltecnagual.com. On there are multiple techniques given for eternal youth, for immortality, and much of it has to do with working with the spine. It also tells you how to make living waters and methods in which to do that. So the bottom line of it is that it's our birthright to have it. We can certainly use that methodology, but I don't recall there being one for the ideal physical body that one wishes to have. So I tell you, I'm so sorry. I have really not got any method worked out for it. I just need to go and get it.
Yeah, well, I have been wondering if there is something there about that it can maybe not be approached head on, and is maybe, like you said, when you were traveling so much that it's more like a side effect of doing something else that it, for example, gets toned more or whatever. I'm not sure. I just feel like we're really missing something here.
I think we are, that it might be the attitude through here. And we just have a few minutes left. Let me give you my best shot on that one. When I was in that masseuse's office and all these people are around here, she called in all the other ladies working in this sort of office complex that the massage room was just one of. And they were looking at my, they lifted up my hair, they looked behind my ears, they looked at places where things should be sagging, and they said, why is it not sagging? And I said to them, it's my attitude. I am too busy living. Now, attitude, I think, is the key. Because if our attitude is one of fighting the mirrors in our environment, then we are affected by food, we are affected by a sedentary lifestyle, etc., etc. If our attitude is, I am the master of my circumstances, I change without by changing within, the mastery tones our body. It definitely has to be hidden in the attitude.
Okay, but then when, like for example, when we say, well, I change the outside by changing within, and say something doesn't change, as in, for example, you know, in this case, the body, I mean, is it enough to say, well, you're not trying hard enough, obviously, in the within, or could it be that there's still components missing in this story?
Like, well, first of all, you change within because it's the right thing to do and you don't like what the mirrors are saying. The mirrors, see, this might be part of it. The mirrors are incidental. So my body, for me, is incidental. What matters to me is how toned I live in my awareness. And I just know that if I live toned in my awareness, the body must follow. So I pay no attention to my body. Let's say I have a 4-hour journey and I need to complete it in 2 hours. The way to do it is to shut the clocks. In fact, I have everybody take clocks off their arms in the car, and we're there exactly when we need to be. But if we watch the clocks, we won't be. Don't watch your bodies. Be actively toned within. Be busy within. Take balance within between rest and activity, and have the full awareness of living properly. The body cannot then be flabby and this or that or the other. But, you know, don't watch the clock. Unfortunately, we've gotten to the end of our time, and I'd like you to come back again next week, if you would, please. And if you have more questions on this, please feel free to tuck in. I'm happy to explore it. Folks, I guess we've come to the end of our hour, and we'll say goodbye to you, and we'll see you again next week.
The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Al Mean. Please join us again next week.